Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is talking trots.
We are talking trots, as my colleague Jason Bonington would say. It is a Saturday morning. It's it's not so much summer anymore, is it? But it's certainly that that time of year, and really looking forward to the Chariots of Fire tonight at Menangle. It's going to be a great race, of course, the Terrain Cup, and to discuss everything that has been for the last 7 days and everything that will be for the next seven. Jason Bonington, you're here to chat.
I am here to chat, and we're here to try and find winners, of course, and also recap the week that's been. But as you mentioned, some terrific racing again this weekend, and tonight, the Terrain Cup as well. I mean, the Chariots is obviously the highlight, but the Terrain Cup's an absolute rip-hot boiler, and we get to see so many progressive horses going around. And I tweeted during the week, it might not be the way of the future with the new handicapping system just around the corner, we're told, but Emma Stewart's effort to place Poster Boy in the Chariots of Fire and then three other Total Gun four-year-olds in three different races at Terrain, just magnificent. So be interesting to see exactly how they all go. I've settled on the fact that Tam Major will probably beat Crime Rider, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
All right, well, we will look backwards very briefly and start with Auckland, or Chase Auckland, who won the draw battle, I guess, for the Chariots of Fire. That's not entirely clear. Pickard's drawn to his outside and has very good speed, but Ignatius is still looming pretty large after that last start when beating Chase Auckland when sitting outside him. It sets up for a good race. Have you sort of gone through it and made your mind up on who you think will lead after 200 metres?
Not entirely. Look, I have to concede I've probably focused more of my like hardcore speed map attention on the meeting last night at Tabcorp Park and the meeting tonight at Terrain. But I will say that you know, the indications are that Pickard will begin very, very quickly. And regardless of whether Pickard crosses or not, I think they're going to run super fast into the first turn. You know, that first quarter is going to be blazing. And I think what I've seen of Chase Auckland and his three runs this preparation in Australia, I don't think he'll win the race, regardless of whether he holds up the lead or not, because he's going to be tackled early. If he's behind the leader, I think Ignatius will go up outside of Pickard, put Pickard to bed, and that will leave Chase Auckland in a position where he can't win. And if he gets burnt up early but has to, you know, run a sub-26-second quarter to hold the lead, or a 26-second quarter to hold the lead, then I think he'll be left as a sitting duck for Ignatius, Poster Boy, and maybe even Rack Him Up Tiger Boy as well. So I'm sort of risking Chase Auckland. Tipping Poster Boy is probably the one to beat, but I reckon at the big odds, if you wanted to have a lash to throw up the stumps, I reckon the other Victorian, Rack Him Up Tiger Pie, is over the odds.
All right, we have to speak about South Australia last weekend. Obviously, we can't ignore what was a horrible, horrible scene in the Derby. That race has been rescheduled, I believe, and until maybe a couple of weeks away at some point during March, but it was terrible scenes really on the track with I'm Sir Blake choking down. He crashed into Major Exclusive, and it was just a pile up after that. Some relatively significant injuries. Danny Hill, we know, has had her fair share of bad falls over the last few years, and she pulled up with a broken leg, and also a really affected knee, which is going to take some fixing up as well. And Paul Cavallaro, the other one, most seriously injured, and I think he's in for three surgeries at some point over the next little while, with some facial abrasions and some issues around his shoulder and whatnot. So it was a really nasty fall. Obviously, Sicario was really good in the big race, the South Australian Pacing Cup, getting every chance. But I think, just to know that all the horses and drivers were, relatively okay after that fall was the main thing.
Yeah, I'm just freakishly horrible to watch on track, it has to be said. And amazing, as you mentioned, that, we had a situation where, there were no fatalities or no life-threatening injuries, although seeing Paul Cavallaro motionless on the track for a fair period of time, and Danny Hill, her heroics to go over and sit on top of her charge, I'm Sir Blake's head, to make sure that he was calm and to stop him moving around and thrashing about before being looked after herself, when she'd clearly absolutely destroyed a leg after everything she's been through. I think it gives, you and I have been around for a little while, Baker, but it gives me an even greater appreciation for the toughness of the warriors that go out there and risk life and limb, just as jockeys do, the drivers in our sport. So that was a low point of the night, but obviously there were some terrific winners at Globe Derby Derby as well. McLovin, an unbelievable Australian debut, winning by about 30 metres. And, of course, Sicario bouncing back from an ordinary first-up Australian run in the Central Victorian Pacing Championship to zip through and, I think, win the South Australian Cup pretty softly. So some highlights, but certainly high drama. And, as you mentioned, just incredibly thankful and grateful that the injuries weren't worse. Though it will be a long road to recovery for both Paul Cavallaro and Danielle Hill.
Before we move on, we should talk about, we've sort of already covered off Poster Boy to some degree, but Emma Stewart sort of used last Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Melton as a platform for her stars. Tell Me Tales, of course, notching up a win on her way to what you'd expect to be a leadership mile berth in a couple of weeks' time up in Sydney. We've mentioned a couple of the others, Poster Boy and co. So it was a good platform meeting, I guess, last weekend at Melton that gave those horses the opportunity to just finish off their preparations for some big races.
I asked you on Tuesday, I don't know if you've gone back and had a look at it again. You were more than happy with Tell Me Tales?
Yeah, I thought she was excellent. Yep.
Yeah. Just did what she had to do, held the margin. I really love it when a horse like Tell Me Tales, who doesn't like win by 20 metres a lot of the time, holds the margin.
Yeah.
I don't like him being cut into to within under half a length sometimes and that feeling that you're all out on the line. I don't think she was anywhere near all out. I think she was just doing what she had to do, and it was an impressive win. I know she only defeated Hickstead, but, you know, Hickstead has proven on occasions over the last few months, second to San Carlo in the Yarra Valley Cup, to be a pretty decent measuring stick at different times. So, good win to him. And Poster Boy was just the perfect hit out for the Chariots of Fire, I thought. Just ripped home a half. And I think third in that race was Reciprocity. And, so well done to Poster Boy.
All right, it's time for Runs of the Week. I'm not sure if you want to take some of these or any of these. I'll start, though, with the one vote, and that goes to Bad Boy JJ from
You're playing out to Mitch Sidebottom and the team on Twitter here.
No, it was a big win. It was, certainly the punters knew he was going to improve, and he did improve. So if he can replicate that going forward, who knows how good he could be, because he's shown glimpses, but, that was a big performance. So well done to the team there with Bad Boy JJ. Somewhere Secret, I think, gets two votes as well. Emma Stewart will feature in our three votes again, I'm sure, very shortly. But Somewhere Secret was a really good win. A horse that has had a couple of years off the scene. Won its first couple of starts, stepping up in grade, and then last time out during the week was a really impressive winner, and I think he's just going to get better and better. So Somewhere Secret gets the two votes. Who have you got for three?
My little mate, one of my favourites, Hurricane Harley. Look, this could be shared, actually, with Lachlan Varad, who ran second in the same race at Shepparton during the week. Super performance from Hurricane Harley.
Did he look a bit tired late?
I think so, but you've got to remember, he wasn't at his best in the Victoria Derby final.
No.
And I reckon he'll improve off the run. I still say that I reckon, you know, I sound like a trainer here, but I still say that I reckon Hurricane Harley is at his best, even though he's gone spectacular time and done extraordinary things at Shepparton. Coming off the speed is where I like him most.
Yep.
And as he gets into the, you know, when he's racing in the better races going forward, I think coming off the speed will be his forte. But he was incredibly good, and he was entitled to get tired late.
But was it the perfect hit out for a New South Wales Derby, or Lachlan Varad testing him so strongly? Is that a little bit of a concern?
I don't think Hurricane Harley would have known too much about Lachlan Varad testing him.
Was it a concern, though, that, you know, he was getting tired on the line heading towards a New South Wales Derby?
Well, it's hard to say. Every single analyst has to make their own mind up about that. Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin would probably know more about what the horse requires. One thing I do know about Hurricane Harley is that he's not a spectacular track worker, I don't believe. So potentially getting him hard fit for the big battles, a tough run like that might be what was warranted and what's needed. But you've got to look at the time. And, like, when you're going that fast, you're entitled to get a little bit tired. It does is actually give another, I guess, elevate the performance of Lachlan Varad to be able to keep coming on the line. My only concern for Lachlan Varad, and I hope I'm wrong, is that he's been cast into this situation of fruitlessly chasing after horses so often, whether he starts to believe that is his life. I'd love to see him somewhere along the line, maybe in ahead of the New South Wales Derby, get a relatively soft kill and get that winning feeling, really, because he's been looked after exceptionally well by Laura Crosland and David Moran, but at some point it's getting very hard for him to keep on having to produce A++++ performances and get no reward.
All right, driver of the week. There could be no other this week. I'm gonna let you take a stab. We've already spoken about a couple of them. Chris Alford, how many winners do you think he's driven in the last 6 days?
I'm guessing it's exceptional. I would say something like Geez, I don't want to be silly about this. 14?
17.
Ah!
17.
That's out of control.
In the last 6 days. Didn't count last night. So that's a phenomenal effort. Now, driver of the week this week is Chris Elford. As we head off to a break, we'll be back to talk about Terang tonight.
The Weekend Review, the Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
We are back on Talking Trots, and we're here to talk Terang Cup night. Always a great night of racing. The cup is extraordinarily strong, as Jason mentioned earlier, and it's time to do the form for these races and find a winner or two. Race 1 kicks off at 6:23pm tonight. The Ridley's Barrowstock Pace over the middle trip, 2180. It is for the CO's 4-year-old and older, and we've got a likely short price favourite, or at least even money or shorter, in Jackie Rabbit Bond, but Keying Bazooka probably the danger.
I think they're the only two any chance. I reckon Keying Bazooka leads and Jackie Rabbit rolls up outside it. I don't think Caleb Lewis will be putting the video of his drive on Jackie Rabbit on any showreels. They still got the job done at Mount Gambier last time out, but three wide and then has to go back, and then three wide again has to go back. But I'll tell you what he did do. He carved through a passage late, which he needed to do, and he won the race with Jackie Rabbit. So if they launched on at the relatively short quote, they did get the money, and Jackie Rabbit's the one to beat again tonight for Courtney Slater, who does a wonderful job with a relatively small team. Keying Bazooka is the likely leader in the race, and look, go back to the first up performance. Keying Bazooka would go very close outside of them. The just a peloton, really, isn't it? Crapano's in the mix. Reggie's Choice is there. Who's a Shady Lady? Abstract Fella. They can all run somewhere in the mix, but I do think primarily it's going to be a situation where it's a race in two. If Keying Bazooka can get back to its best, it'll probably go very close. But Jackie Rabbit is the one to beat. My number's the first race, 5, 3, 10, and 2.
All right, race two on the just quietly, I think Hollywood Jack's not a little bad place, bet at 100 to 1 there. But race two on the card is the Terang Home Hardware Trotters Handicap, obviously from the stand over the middle trip. 2180, they've obviously sorted this race out through handicaps, so you'd think outside of the potential favourite. I'm not sure exactly how well Aldebaran Kira is going, the likely even money chance, but you tell me.
Surely you jest. Did you watch the Central Victorian Trotting Championship?
Yes.
She was going to win.
Yep.
She galloped in the just as they came around the turn.
Yep, she's got some tricks and a couple of starts. Anyway, even when she was better, I know the Penny Drops might be a nice horse, but anyway.
The only concern for me is the 2180-metre trip, because when you're off 30 metres over less than 2200 metres, you got to negate your handicap quickly. The good thing about Aldebaran Kira is even though she's got two or three screws loose, she's a very quick beginner normally from the stand. I reckon she can be up in the peloton soon after the start, and I reckon she's best driven, and I reckon the X-Men will drive her aggressively.
The X-Men, Tony Shirea, is not going to be thrilled. You've just stolen his nickname.
The X-Boy. Xavier O'Connor.
Got a good horse, Xavier O'Connor. Be the one.
Yeah. You found it earlier, yeah?
Oh, ish.
Yeah.
Not only after debut. But
well, that's, you know, you take it where you can get it. That's life. You don't wait for him to give it to you. Yeah, I reckon you just got to push. She's the kind of mare, I reckon, you just keep pushing forward, particularly in a field like this, and you just don't take no for an answer. Try and roll to the top if you can. If that happens, she'll win the race. She's a lot better than these, but it gets trickier after that. Icicle's racing really well at the moment. God of Thunder, Dancing All Alone. Yankee Redback's one that I reckon will just pop up again at some point.
Yeah.
It was hard to work out how well she went in South Australia because she galloped soon after the start, but on her best night, we know she's a very quick beginner, both for a mobile and stand. And if she was able to ping across and find the front, she could run a race at a little bit of odds. But it's one of those wide-open races. It's tough to bet into unless you want to say, yep, give me Aldebaran Kira for everything it's worth. 13, 7, 8, and 5, race 2.
Incredibly difficult race there. I'd either be playing really wide or staying out. Race 3 on the card is at 7:32pm. The Neville and Patsy Clark Memorial Pace. This is the first sprint race of the night over the 1680. Good race, $11,000 affair for the C2 to C3 horses drawn on preferential barrier draw class, and we've got some good horses to go for the good race because Major Times is likely to start a very short price favourite, one of these four-year-olds you mentioned earlier in the card, but this is a really strong affair. Major Assassin drawn the pole, should run a place, Ideal Some Magic's in good form. All of them have ability.
It's sort of one of those, it's not disappointing, but it's one of the better C2 to C3 races you'd ever see, but because Major Times is in there, he'll just win. He'll balance up. There's two ways of looking at it. Major Assassin can begin quickly. Will one out wider that's got good gates be an attempt to bomb maybe a Ideal Some Magic or a Jilly Mid Madonna, or Will Major Times just hold his ground early, whip across and find the front? I lean to the latter scenario,
yep.
And it becomes a very peg-dominated affair. Dragontown's always been a horse of very good ability, and Major Assassin's flying. So I can see a situation. Terang is actually one of the least peg-dominated tracks in Victoria. But short course here, I just see a situation, leader behind leader, three poles, and you can play pretty aggressively through them. But, like, it's such a good race. Jillaby and Madonna was huge second up, defeating Ideal Some Magic, who prior to that had been flying, and Steel Screens is a horse going places as well. So very, very good race. It's going to be, you know, a couple of nice horses miss out on the placings here, but Major Times will be winning. And
would you be willing to stand out Major Assassin for second in multiples or not?
I reckon Dragontown is that talented, I wouldn't know. 2, 1, 8, and 3.
Race 4 on the card is the Harry Whiting Memorial Silver Plate. Again, back to the middle trip, 2180 for the 4-year-old and older C1s, 8:03 p.m. Last leg of the early quaddie. Pretty even race this. Our Summer Wind draws handily, a potential early leader. Di Danudo certainly good enough for this class, and I guess the big show's the other one. If he could carve across them early, you'd say it'd be really hard to beat, but whether he has that gate speed anymore, I'm not sure.
The big show?
Yeah.
Well, the last few times he's met Our Summer Wind, he has got a cross.
Okay.
And Our Summer Wind's allowed that situation, sometimes retaking the lead on one occasion. But, look, I've just settled on Our Summer Wind because it'll get across the pole marker and have options there. But the big show will be going forward. Di Danudo's been racing infinitely better horses.
Yeah.
One of the three should win. Glamour Symbol could create some consternation if Michael Sullivan can rip it off the arm, because it's also got blazing gate speed.
Dempsey's a light can run the gate as well. It's a bit confusing.
It is. The only thing I think that's why I'm going back to Our Summer Wind, because I know it'll lead.
Yeah.
And then probably just hand up to one horse.
Yeah.
If it hands up to anything, which it probably will. So no great confidence here, but I have got Our Summer Wind on top, 2 to beat 6, 4, and 7.
Right, race 5 is the first leg of the quaddie tonight at Terang. It's the Southwest Conveyancing Terang Trotters Cup. This over the staying trip, 2,680 metres from the standing start. Most of them over off the front or the 10-metre mark. Super Zek, obviously, a previous Trotters Cup winner, does get the 20-metre mark. Look, I guess McLovin, if he turns up in the form we saw in South Australia and he trots the whole way, he will be winning.
Yes, he will. It was an enormous first-up run in Australia. It looked like he was massively, heavily, heavily supported. He did the job for his backers, $1.50 into $1.30 this time around. You know, it's a nice field, but McLovin gave every impression that he's a potential Group 1 horse in the making based on his South Australian Trotters Cup win. So,
did he have gate issues in New Zealand?
Yep, occasionally.
He
got around Globe Derby going 3 wide down the back.
I'm not saying he looked uncomfortable, but I think you could feel it a little bit.
Yeah, and I reckon Terang's, you know, is going to be more suitable than Globe Derby. So, look, if you want to risk it on that basis potentially, these are the ones. Look, I reckon No Republic's a clear second pick, flying at the minute.
Yeah.
You just don't want to get buried too far back, because it doesn't begin brilliantly from the tape. It begins okay. Jericho's Trumpet's got a lot of ability, but can mix his manners. And Fratellino's the one that just loves these conditions. Long trip, standing start, rarely runs a bad race.
Goes in that category.
Yeah, no, I think Zuma's Legend's about 100-1. And if you're playing first fours, you'd have to start in for fourth, because it loves, along, as you mentioned, loves these conditions. A bit like Argyle Maladies, these sort of horses that aren't hugely, hugely talented, but under the right conditions can add value to wider exotic wages. But I ultimately settled on the numbers for a moral over 1, 8, and 6.
Race 6 on the card is the Pat Bellman Memorial 3-year-old pace. 3CO to C1 over the middle trip, 9:03 p.m. Second leg of the quaddie. And we've got probably a two-horse race in many respects. Fighty's drawn barrier 2, and Brevity drawn barrier 7. Interesting runner, Wild Man for Mick Stanley coming down from New South Wales. But what did you settle on here?
Acre Munin's runner out of the good times, a brother to Major Times. Look, those who dived into the tens on about Fighty's last start and got burnt will still be shell-shocked. They're probably still receiving counselling as we speak, but I would suggest get involved again here, because it's going to get across Mel Park Butch very quickly. I don't think anything in the middle there is going to get too involved at the start. Brevity will run the gate, but Matty Craven on his home digs, is he going to hand up the lead? I don't reckon he will.
No.
I reckon he'll park Brevity, and I reckon fight his bait. First up, 54 and change, I reckon, defeating Maserati. I'm willing to lean back on that. I mean, it did work pretty hard second up, even though it was disappointing. There were probably, you know, some half excuses. So 2 to beat 7 for mine. And for exotics, there's only two more I want to include. Anton Galino's runner, Sounds Like Art. Wasn't too far behind Brevity in the race won by Crime Rider last time out. And you've got Gracie Cullen. I think Gracie Cullen's going to turn into a nice horse for Mick Bellman. Just has to follow through from that second line draw and get into a good position. And I wouldn't be surprised if it features in the placings either. So don't try and spread the net too wide here. I'd be sticking around the top four tips and hoping that Brevity is defeated by Fighties 2, 7, 4, and 9 in the three-year-old affair.
The big one on the card is race 7, 9:33 p.m. the Terrain Co-op Pacing Cup Group, two levels, staying trip. Good to see the staying races coming to the fore tonight. And look, we've got a really good race. Born to Rock and Roll.
Super race.
Drawn outside the second row, but there are many a chance here. Flaming Flutter, I see you've marked a lot shorter than early price, and I agree with that. Chillaby Chevy off the front row, can't refuse, is there. Ego Dan, super running South Australia, draws the pole. Maritai drawn inside the second line. Are you playing wide in quarties?
No, I'm playing only three runners.
Okay.
But Ian Craven has such a strong hand in this race, obviously off the front line with Roy George getting a run now. Eager Dan there, can't refuse. But Tough Call's going to have a little lash at the start too, I reckon.
Yeah.
And Jillaby Chevy, you know, they've always had a huge opinion of this. I reckon they might just run forward and to say, we're going for the top. I sort of see only three scenarios. And that's why I've got three winners, because each different scenario has a different winner. If they run along really fast, and Eager Dan is either massacred in the early stages with horses attacking him, but holds the lead or gets crossed by any other horse other than Jillaby Chevy, I reckon Born to Rock and Roll's a moral.
Interesting.
His times, to me, suggest that he is a Grand Circuit contender of the future if his body stands up.
Yep.
Like, he's going unbelievably well. Little question mark with him is the long trip the first time, because he's a bold-going horse, but he's a big, strong customer. You'd think he'd eat it up. Second scenario, Eager Dan leads, and they don't challenge as hard as we think they're going to challenge. Maritai behind the leader will beat Eager Dan under those circumstances and win the race, in my opinion. And the third scenario is Chillaby Chevy gets across to the front without burning all of its petrol tickets, in which case I think he wins the race. So they're the only three I'm putting in the quaddy. Outside of them, look, I've got respect for a lot of these. Eager Dan, can't refuse, is one that I'm probably willing to. He's had a couple of hiccups this campaign. But I do note that Batty Craven's chosen to drive him over Eager Dan, which is interesting. Motu Go Crash is going well, but the draw's going to hurt his chances. E-Main Macca, I reckon, will enjoy being the hunter rather than the hunted. And Flaming Floody, you've already mentioned. Fourth in the Hunter Cup, turns up here.
Yeah.
And they opened him like $51 or $41 or something.
And he's won a Terrain Cup in the past.
He's won a Terrain Cup in the past. And to be fair, I know he's had a long time off the scene at different junctures, but I'm not sure he's ever gone that much better than he went in the...
Nope.
His Hunter Cup run was superb.
Yep.
So if the pressure's on throughout, he's a little knockout chance, but I'm only playing three in the quarter and hoping one of my three scenarios plays out.
Numbers?
Our numbers are 13, hoping that Born Rock and Roll can announce himself as a Grand Circuit Star of the Future over 4, 8 and 12.
Race 8, we'll rip through these last three, although we get to one of our favourite races of the year, I reckon, the last leg of the quaddie, the Dalvui Dominator, sponsored by Moores Bearings, over the sprint trip for the C1 horses, good prize money race. Crime Riders, your odds on, or potential odds on favourite outside the second row, but there is a clear danger in Tam Major drawn just inside him.
Who do you think is going to win the race? What do you reckon the prices are and who's going to, because it's a match race.
Yeah, it certainly is a match race. I think Crime Rider will be $1.60, maybe $1.50. Tam Major, $1.90, even money.
I'll be having everything on Tam Major if he's not favourite. Well, any price around yours for theirs.
Yep.
Follows out a quicker beginner than Crime Rider.
That's interesting.
I reckon good four-year-old, highly talented four-year-old who's been a New South Wales Derby place-getter and competed in a golden generation and wasn't too far away in races against the golden generation of three-year-olds last season.
Yep.
Against Crime Rider, who is a progressive customer, but 1 year younger and probably not any better than Tam Major was last year, I reckon. And the other thing is, I don't see Crime Rider at this level against horses like Tam Major as a breeze horse. All these reasons add up to Tam Major winning the race. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be one hell of a spectacle there at Terrain when these two horses draw away from the rest of the field and just drop them. La Bella Rock is a half-sister to E-Main Macca, also with Greg Schofield, who does a wonderful job with a small team. And I'm happy to have it as a clear third pick. And then it gets messier after that. Hot Breakfast is running a lot of places at the moment. I'm a shadow boxer. Starscape might be able to ping across and find the front early. So play wide at the back end of your first fours, but I reckon Tam Major is going to win a wonderful match race over Crime Rider, 10, 11, 8 and 5, my numbers.
All right, I don't think we'll be doing huge damage in the last couple, so rip through your numbers for race 9.
Best bet on the card, this.
Oh, really?
Miss Dangerfield has led in 7 races.
Yeah.
She's won 5 of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Moderate race, she leads and wins.
Numbers?
7, wins. Maneuver Man, first up from a break, second. 8, Sucralose, third, number 1, and Mighty Regal, fourth, number 5, 7, 8, 1, and 5. Best on the card, Miss Dangerfield.
Leave me out of that. In the last race, we're going to split here. I'm very confident, so Playful will be winning, but your numbers?
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I'm going 5, 2, 6, and 1. There's a lot of gate speed off the only line here, but Marjorie Jean's the fastest beginner. I reckon if it gets to the front, it'll win its third race from 3 attempts this preparation. Save the Game's going well for Paul Warnock. So Playful, just might get caught in an awkward spot in a small field, but I reckon will go really well. It's one of 3 winning chances, and Soho Moody Blue goes in for 4th.
We know Miss Dangerfield's your absolute best. Can you give us something else across the program?
I reckon Border Rock and Roll's at a reasonable enough price to get involved with it, to be honest, and just going through the card in terms of trying to find one little bit of value right across this 10-race program. I would say maybe you could look at something like... Well, Jackie Rabbit's not a lot of value. I'd be saying no to Baron Currie's worth a decent bet, but look, I'll be playing as my best bet on the card, Miss Dangerfield. And I love the fact that you don't want to be involved with it. And to be honest, one of my rules of punting is don't launch into lowly graded horses because you don't know what you're going to get from start to start. But I'll tell you what, the numbers don't lie. 5 wins from 7 goes with leading. Place the other 2 occasions. Moderate race, she wins.
We just learned the folly of not having your papers with you at a critical time, but... We move on. That's the end of the show.
We learnt the folly of not going up to the selections tab here is what we learnt the folly of. I'll just show you how to organise
so
the computer.
Responsibility
It would be mine.
Okay.
And Desert Fly.
So your best value
Desert
is Born
best rock and roll. Born
rock and roll. Righto. It's been good fun. We'll see you next week, Bon.
See you next week, mate.
Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots.